all bow before Almighty Yahweh. Father Yahweh, we come before you. We thank you for the blessings you have given all of us. We pray that what is done here today and the words spoken may be your words and not mine. Father Yahweh, we pray that you may inspire me and convict me, and that your words may flow through my mouth. Help me, Father Yahweh, to do your will here today, and to convict and inspire and strengthen your people. Father Yahweh, as a people, we come before you, we thank you for strength, and we ask for more strength, because the days are certainly getting evil, Father Yahweh, and more difficult. And we know that in the end times, we're going to have to rely on you completely with full devotion and faith. So we pray, Father, that you may be with us now and always increase our devotion to you, our dedication, our faith, our knowledge, our wisdom with you. Father Yahweh, we thank you again for the blessings, for all that you've done, for the family, for the friends, for all the wonderful blessings. And we also ask, Father, today a very special prayer, a petition for Brother Jim and also Sister Kathy. May you be with them both. And we know that Brother Jim's been suffering for a while now. And we pray, Father Yahweh, that you can touch him with your healing hand. We know that nothing is beyond your doing and your ability, Father Yahweh. And we all love Jim here. So we pray that you may be with him. Help him to recover, to be strong once more, to fully praise and glorify you. Do this, Father Yahweh, is our petition. We thank you for all things, and we ask this in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. Again, I'd like to ask everybody to keep Jim in your prayers and also keep Sister Kathy. We forgot to mention you earlier. Apologize for that. I was reading Fox News this week. I saw this article several months ago. The FDA was considering cloned food. Or the FDA has now gave its final approval for cloned meat. And I find this alarming. Certainly trends of this world. You know, Yahweh says don't mix the seed. Don't mingle the seed. Don't fool with what I've designed. And as a nation and the world, we are manipulating what Yahweh designed. And I believe that this will have far-reaching impact that we don't see or perceive today. And you know, I think this is a sign of the time and something we need to be aware of and abstain from. I do personally consider cloned meat or anything of this substance unclean. It is unclean. It is not by Yahweh's design. It's been manipulated and certainly not fit for consumption. And again, this is a sign of the time, and I think we need to be aware of this and many other things. I also read an article. I forgot to bring it, but there's a new virus out that's impacting sodomites now. It's different from AIDS, and it is specifically impacting homosexuals, sodomites. So I think Yahweh's wrath can be seen, and again, the sign of the times are here. This will be part three of my message on Romans. We're going to cover Romans chapter 4 and 5 today. I may take a break after this, or I may move on to chapter 6. I think chapter 6 is special for many reasons. Number one, it discusses baptism. Very important topic to understand, and it really focuses on immersion baptism more than any other passage I'm aware of. It talks about how we die with the Messiah, how we in his likeness and his resurrection will be resurrected at his coming. So it's a very special chapter. I may continue with that and then take somewhat of a sabbatical and pick it back up later down the road. Romans chapter 4 and 5, what are we looking at today? Well, for the most part, we're looking at the same thing we saw in chapter 3, last message. We're going to see Paul speaking about faith, speaking about justification, how we're saved, the fact that we're not saved by debt, by works, by what we do, but saved through Yahshua, and that's really the main focus. And it's going to maybe seem somewhat repetitive today, but it's important that we understand this message. I think it's an important message that we as Yahweh's people understand, because it really conveys where and how we receive salvation today. So let's start with Romans chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says, "What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before Elohim. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed Elohim, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to he who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt." Paul here is using Abraham to draw a distinction between salvation by works and salvation by faith. He says here that Abraham believed Yahweh, and because of that, what happened? He was found righteous, it says. Now, what is the meaning of this word believed? It's important to understand what the word believed means. It means, in the Greek, to have faith in, upon, or with respect to a person or thing, by implication, to entrust. And, you know, I think there's a great importance and meaning to this word entrust that we simply do not understand today. Now, when Abraham was called to the faith, what happened? Well, Yahweh told him to leave all that he had, to leave his family, to leave those whom he loved, to leave his homeland, and to follow him. And we know that Abraham had faith. He had faith in Almighty Yahweh. He entrusted his life to his Father in heaven. Understand, though, that he wasn't found righteous because of what he did. He was found righteous because he believed. He believed and had faith in his Maker. In verse 4, Paul says again, "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt." Well, what is Paul trying to say here? Well, this is why we're not saved by works, by what we do. This is why we're saved through grace. Paul's saying here that if we rely on our own good works for salvation, that salvation has become something we earn. And that is conveyed here by the word debt. Debt. The word debt can also mean owed or something due. Understand, and I think this may be the pivotal point here, Yahweh does not owe us salvation. He is not indebted because of our good works to give us or to grant us salvation. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. And no one is worthy by merit or by what he or she has done. You know, this is no different, though, from a parent-child relationship. Does a parent give the things necessary to life to a child because of debt? Because of something they may owe to that child, or because of love? Or we love children because of love, not because of debt or something we owe. I can assure you that a good parent does not show love or forgiveness based on something they owe or something they be indebted to give to that child. You know, Yahweh is no different. We receive his grace, his love, his compassion, his forgiveness out of love. Abraham wasn't found righteous from good works. It says again that he was found righteous because he believed. He believed and entrusted his life to the one whom he worshiped. Now, and I want to clarify this now, does this remove our obligation to obey? Many people, they're going to say, "Oh, we're saved through grace. We're not saved by what we do. There's no reason to obey." Well, that's simply not true. That is simply not true. We are to obey, but we are not saved by what we do. But we find proof all throughout the New Testament, Old Testament both, showing that we're to obey, even when we're saved through grace. You know, there were even some during the New Testament who accused Paul of being an antinomian, anti-law in the Greek. You don't obey the law. You don't preach the law. You preach that people should abstain from obeying Yahweh. And he said, "Look, no, I don't." And we know that he went through that purification process, some say the Nazarite vow, he fulfilled to show that he was not anti-law. In addition, we also know that Abraham kept Yahweh's commandments, kept Yahweh's laws. Genesis 26, verse 5 says that he did. even though we know that he was saved through faith. You know, in the last few months, I've been contemplating a thought. And this really came up from a Bible study we had a few months ago. Is it harder or more difficult to have faith or to obey? Is it harder to have faith or to obey? And I've come to the conclusion that it is harder or more difficult to have faith than to obey Yahweh's word. And we need to understand what faith is. What is faith? Or faith, according to Hebrews 11, is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. Do we believe that Yahweh is capable of all that we find within His word? Do we believe that Yahweh can do all that He promises within His word? Do we have that absolute conviction, that certainty, that He is able to heal, that He is able to see us through whatever trial, that our lives are in His control? Do we believe that? Do we believe that with Yahweh we can remove mountains? You know, my friends, this is faith. The faith of Abraham and the faith that we should all strive to achieve. You know, I've seen many hypocrites. I've seen many unbelievers at heart obey the law flawlessly, or almost. They look real good from the outside. They keep the Sabbath like they should. They keep the feast days. They may tithe. They do all that they should. But they don't have faith. I believe it is harder and more difficult to have faith, to have a conviction inside that we're fully persuaded that Yahweh is and is able to deliver all that we find within His word. Again, I believe absolute faith is one, and the one whom we worship is much harder, and a great goal that we should all strive to achieve. Let's continue here at verse 5, Romans chapter 4, verse 5. Says, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the unrighteous, his faith is accounted for righteousness. But as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom Elohim imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man to whom Yahweh shall not impute sin. So Paul here, he reiterates that he who has faith in Almighty Yahweh is found righteous. And again, we find that it is not by works. It is not by what we do. Now, when we speak about righteousness through faith, I want to make something clear. It's important that we understand this truth. What Paul is speaking about when he says that we are found righteous through faith is salvation, eternal life. Bottom line is this: salvation is received in one way. It is not received by debt. It is not received because Yahweh owes us anything. It is received through His grace, through His love, and His favor for us. We can either seek salvation in a way that is owed, or we can seek it in a way that is freely given, according to our Father in heaven. You know, Paul turned to Psalms to confirm this message. Psalms 32, David wrote, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man to whom Yahweh shall not impute sin. You know, it's a blessing, Paul says, to those whom Yahweh forgives. And notice here, I think Paul's emphasizing that it's a gift. It's not something this person did. It's something that Yahweh is giving to this person. It's a gift of forgiveness, of compassion. Again, to go back to a parent-child relationship, our love for our children is not based on what they do. It's not based on what they do. It's based on our love for them. Remember that Yahweh loved us. He gave His only Son for us while we were yet in our sin. Before we knew Him, Scripture says, and we're going to find that He gave His only Son. And I believe that most parents will love their children no matter what they do. No matter what they do, I don't think that love can ever be tarnished or rendered obsolete. But understand that there is something called tough love. Yahweh incorporates this tough love. Revelation 3:19, Joshua told John, "As many as I love, I reprove and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." So we find here that Yahweh will chasten those whom he loves. He will correct those whom he loves. But yet we find that the love is still there. It remains. Romans chapter 4, verse 9. Again, Paul goes on and says, "Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only?" Now keep in mind that the book of Romans is a book that was written both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. It is written to both, and Paul here, he's explaining how those who were outside the promise of Abraham was grafted in or received this promise. So he's saying, is it only to the circumcised or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? Now listen to this. For he was circumcised or uncircumcised. Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe. Though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. Again, in verse 9, Paul asks, does this blessedness come upon the circumcised only or also on the circumcised or uncircumcised? Or Paul's asking if the promise of faith found in Abraham is only for those who were the physical seed of Abraham. So what's Paul's response to his rhetorical question? What does Paul say? He points out that Abraham was found righteous, how? By faith, while he was yet when? While he was yet uncircumcised. He was uncircumcised when he received this promise. Now, why is this important? Well, I believe that Yahweh had a plan. And that plan was to use Abraham, our great forefather, as the foundation of the promise of faith to all of mankind, not only to the Israelites of old, or the Israelites of today, but for all of mankind. Again, in verse 11, Paul says, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised." Notice that, still uncircumcised, "that he might be the father of all those who believe." Yahweh promised to Abraham that through him, that all the families of the earth would be blessed. Again, Abraham was found righteous through his faith while he was yet uncircumcised. He received this promise while he was uncircumcised. And in so doing, we find that the promise of faith is not only for the physical seed of Abraham, but also for those who will be grafted in to this promise of faith. And once more, let me remind you, because I don't want to convey the message that we're saved by grace or faith and that the law is unnecessary. Abraham obeyed, and we're to do the same. We're to do the same. So as a recipient through Abraham, we must not only believe and have absolute conviction as he had. And we're going to find that in this book, an example that Paul gave, and it's a wonderful example. An example that really illustrates the faith, the conviction, the persuasion that Abraham had in the Old Testament. But it also shows here that we're to walk and live. It says that we're to walk here in verse 12, but also walk in the steps of the faith. Or how did Abraham walk? He walked according to Yahweh's word, and so should we. But he was found righteous by his belief. And then through that belief, through that conviction, he walked. He lived for Yahweh's truth. Romans 4:13, "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." So again, he's making a distinction. "For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. There is no transgression. Paul reiterates here that the promise of Abraham was not through the law, was not through what he did, but was through faith, through his conviction and persuadance. And some people say, no, it also was through the law. We're going to find by example that it was his faith, it was his persuasion that he was found righteous. Paul gives a wonderful example of this. We're going to see it just in a few moments. I stand by the belief that true and adulterated absolute conviction, the one whom we worship, is more difficult to achieve than obeying Almighty Yahweh. Having this deep faith and conviction and persuasion in Almighty Yahweh. Anyone can obey the written law. They can keep the Sabbath. They can keep the feast days. They can eat kosher. But I have yet to see one who I would consider with absolute faith in Almighty Yahweh. I have yet to see this today. In this passage, Paul explains why we're not saved by the law. I want to focus on this for just a moment. Number one, he says if we were saved through the law, through our own good works, then faith would be made void. The promise of faith would be made void. Again, its salvation is achieved in one way, and it is not by debt. It is not because Yahweh owes us salvation. Number two, through the law comes wrath. And let's face it, we're all sinners. We've all fallen short. We're all undeserving of Yahweh's grace, and yet we have it anyway. But we're certainly not deserving on our own merit eternal life. We do not deserve eternal life, because if we was to work out salvation by what we did, by how we lived, we would, by necessity, keep Yahweh's law without sin. That is the only way. And as human beings, we've all sinned. Salvation is not earned, because to do so would be to nullify Yahweh's promise of faith and grace, which goes all the way back to the patriarchs of old, to Abraham and to the other patriarchs. You see, nothing's changed. The same way that Abraham received salvation is the same way we too today receive Yahweh's salvation. I'd like to continue Romans 4:16. Paul says there, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, Elohim, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope and hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Paul says here that salvation again is of faith, that it might be according to grace. What is Paul saying? Or think about for a moment, salvation is a process. It's a process. It begins with what? It begins with a belief, a conviction in the one we worship. It begins with believing that Yahweh is, and he is able to perform that which he says. So it begins with faith. What is faith again? The assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. So we don't have absolute proof, but we believe. We're persuaded that Yahweh is, and again, he's able to fulfill all that we find within his word. Faith is a conviction in Almighty Yahweh and a belief that he can do all things. Once we have faith, we then do what? We walk according to his word, as Abraham did. We walk according to his word. Understand that conviction without action is like faith without works. They are both dead and meaningless. So while we're not saved through what we do, we obey because Yahweh says to obey. But we are saved through his grace. With faith and conviction, what else do we receive? Grace. And with grace, what else do we receive here? Justification. What is justification? It's being found blameless. It's being found innocent or just in Yahweh's presence. And it's not something we earn by what we do. In the end, we will be saved through faith by grace. It's a process. Now, what else does Paul say here? Paul goes on to say that this promise is of grace so that it might be sure to all seed. Who is he referring to? He's referring to not only the physical seed of Abraham, but also to those who would be grafted in through the Messiah to the faith. So the grace or favor that Abraham received all the way back in the Old Testament through faith is the same favor, the same grace that we receive today in the New. Same process. It hasn't changed. Yahweh's plan for salvation, the way we're found acceptable to Him, has not changed. It is a faith through grace. Abraham was found righteous because he believed and followed Almighty Yahweh. And the same is true for us today. We must believe. We also find here Paul referring to a specific promise in the Old Testament. He says here that through Abraham, through his seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. That he would be a father of many nations. You know, I find it amazing that Yahweh had a plan all the way back in the Old Testament for this. Not only to include those physical seed of Abraham, but also those later on who'd be grafted in. He had this planned all the way back with Abraham, all the way back with the patriarchs. The promise of those who were not Israelites to be grafted in and have an opportunity for salvation. A father of many nations, not just one, not just two, many. All the families of the earth would be blessed. You see, the good news goes all the way back to the Old Testament. This is not something that's found with Yahshua. This is not something that began with the birth of the Messiah. This is something that goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, it says there that Paul or Abraham understood the good news. That the good news was preached to Abraham. So again, Yahweh's plan to bring His salvation to all nations began not with Yahshua, not with the New Testament. It began all the way back with Abraham of old, and saying that through your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You shall be the father of many nations. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. Now, I want you to pay special attention here. Really soak this up. Verse 19, it says, "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, and did not waver at the promise of Elohim through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to Elohim, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness." For this passage here reinforces the truth that we're found righteous through our faith or conviction in Almighty Yahweh. It says here that Abraham was convinced that Yahweh was able to fulfill his promise. Now what was this promise? Or Sarah was about 90 years old. Abraham was about 100 years old. And Yahweh said, "You two will produce a child." Or, you know, we would say today that biologically this is impossible. But impossibility did not waver Abraham's faith. He said, "If you say so, Yahweh, I believe you." And sure enough, they had a child. Again, it says here that he was convinced that what he, Yahweh, had promised, he was also able to perform. And because of this, Paul says that it was reckoned to him, who? Abraham, for righteousness. Why was he found righteous? Because he believed. He was persuaded. He was convinced. He didn't do anything. But he was persuaded that Yahweh could deliver upon his promise. The word convinced comes from the Greek word plerouphorio. And it means to be persuaded, to be fully convinced or fully assured. So we find that Abraham was fully convinced. He was fully assured. He was persuaded that Yahweh would be able to deliver with his promise. And we know he did. There were no doubts. There were no worries. If Yahweh made the promise, Abraham believed him. He had faith that no matter what the obstacles, no matter what the odds, no matter what the statistics were, that Yahweh could and would deliver upon his promise. This is the type of faith we should all strive to have. This is why Abraham was blessed. He was blessed because he had this passion, this faith, this devotion, this dedication, this persuasion, and he was fully committed to his Father in heaven. Again, the faith that we should have as believers. We need to be fully convinced that Yahweh is. He is. And he is able to do all that we find within his word. Again, I believe that this type of faith is harder, is more difficult to achieve than keeping the law, than having this type of faith, this conviction inside, knowing that Yahweh is able to do all that we find within his word. Now, why is this important? Why is this important? It's important because if we obey Yahweh, and yet for whatever reason have a lack of faith, you know, we're going through the motions, but do we really believe? If we do this, it says that we cannot please Almighty Yahweh. Hebrews, what does Hebrews 11 say? It says there that it's impossible. It's impossible to please Yahweh without faith. Do you understand that it's impossible to please Yahweh? He doesn't say it's almost impossible, or it's nearly impossible, or maybe you can do it. No, he says it's impossible. It's impossible to please Yahweh without faith. So we must believe. And again, from this example, we find that Abraham was found righteous. Why? Because he believed. Yahweh said it will happen, and Abraham had faith and conviction and persuasion that it would happen, and we know that it did. Romans chapter 4, verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone. What are we talking about? The same example. That it was imputed to him, who? Abraham. But also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Yahshua from our sovereign from the dead. It was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised, notice this, because of our what? Our justification. So again, we find from this example that we too share in Abraham's faith today. It wasn't only written for him. It wasn't only for him. It says here that it was written for us, not for his sake alone, but it was also done for us. Shall be imputed to us who believe in him, as says. We find here that we too can be found righteous through faith in Almighty Yahweh if we believe and are convicted and persuaded in him. If we believe that Yahweh is able to perform all that we find within his word. And if we believe in our Savior, whom Yahweh raised from the dead, then we find here the promise of what? What do we find? Justification. Justification. What is the meaning of this word? Justification. Or the Thayer's Greek lexicon defines this word as the act of Elohim declaring men free from guilt and acceptable to him. The Strong's defines this word as acquittal. Acquittal for Messiah's sake. What does the word acquittal mean? Or according to Webster's, an acquittal formally certifies the innocence of the accused. What are we talking about? So what we find here through the example of Abraham's faith, we too can be found righteous. We too can be found blameless. We too can be free from guilt and acceptable to Almighty Yahweh if we believe and have faith and conviction in him. And again, it's done by faith through grace. It is not done through debt. It is not done because Yahweh owes us something, because we've kept the law to such a wonderful degree that now we're deserving. No one in this room is deserving. We've all fallen short. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with Elohim through our Master Yahshua Messiah, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope and of the glory of Elohim. Again, Paul says that we're justified how? By faith, through Yahshua the Messiah. Now I want you to notice verse 2. Verse 2. Paul says here that we have access by faith into what? Into this grace. This grace. Notice he's specific. This grace. What grace? Where Paul's referring to the grace that we find and can only find through the Messiah. That is where we find our grace. That is where we find our atonement. That is where we find our propitiation. We cannot find it from any other source. Some people believe that truth is something broad. You know, they'll say, oh, you believe this, and I'll believe this, and we're going to get to the same place in the end. No, we're not. No, we're not. There's one path. There's one truth. Paul in Ephesians wrote, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling. One hope. Doesn't say there's many hopes. One hope. One master, one faith, one baptism, one El and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. When Paul says grace here, he's referring to the one source that sets us free from our sins, that justifies us before Almighty Yahweh. And it is not by debt. It is not because of something we've earned. It is not from any other source but from Yahshua the Messiah. And that's the message we find here through Paul. He's saying, look, it is not through what you do. It is through our Savior that we're found blameless. It is our Savior that sets us free, that we're acquitted of our sins and made just and free and blameless before Almighty Yahweh. So it's an important message. It's an important message to understand. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. It says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Glory in tribulation. They're happy in tribulation. They like tribulation. Knowing that tribulation does what? Produces what? Perseverance. And perseverance produces what? Character. What does character produce? Hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of Elohim has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So what do we find here? We find a progression, I believe. A progression of faith, a progression of salvation. It says that we glory, that we're happy, that we enjoy tribulation. Why? Why would you ever enjoy tribulation? Why would you ever enjoy trials and suffering? Why? Or it's what it does. It builds perseverance. What is perseverance? Another word is patience. It builds patience. So through our trials, through our tribulation, through our testing, through those times of suffering, we build patience. We build perseverance in Almighty Yahweh. Now, what does patience build? Again, character. Another word for character is approval. Approval. So you see, through testing, through tribulation, through trials, we build faith. We build patience. We build perseverance. That perseverance builds character. It builds approval. That approval builds what? Hope. Confidence is what that means. Confidence in Almighty Yahweh. Confidence that we will see Yahshua when He returns at His coming. It's a process. And we must, as believers, understand we must go through this process. We must be tested. We must go through trials and tribulations to receive this patience, to receive this perseverance. And when we have this patience and this perseverance, it builds character within, it builds approval within, and we have hope because we've gone through the trials and the tribulation. So again, a progression of salvation is how we will be saved through Almighty Yahweh. By having glory in tribulation, which builds perseverance, which builds character, which builds hope and confidence, then when Yahshua does return to this earth, we will be there and we will be found worthy according to His grace, not because of what we've done, not because of our own sinful nature, but because of Yahweh's love and the fact that we tried. And you know, we always need to try. These people who say that we're under grace and it ends, there's nothing more to do, are wrong. We need to try to live according to Yahweh's word. Abraham did that daily. It says that Abraham obeyed His laws, obeyed His commandments. We must do the same. But let's face it, we've all fallen short. We can't be saved by what we do. We can only be saved through our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. It says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Messiah died for the unrighteousness. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Saying most people won't even die for a good man. But Yahshua, He died for the unrighteous. But Elohim, Yahweh, demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, we weren't converted, Messiah died for us. Now, we've already talked about a lot of this, but let's review what Paul says here anyway. Paul says here that the Messiah died for the unrighteousness. You see, Yahshua's purpose for coming was not to offer redemption for those who were whole. Yahshua told the Jews, he said, I'm not here for those who were whole. I'm here for those who are sick. He came to offer redemption to those who were sick, to those who were in sin, to those who knew no better. The purpose for grace that we find through Yahshua's redemption is to bring us to Almighty Yahweh, to bring us to repentance. I believe that many people misunderstand this purpose, though, to bring us to repentance. They stop with His grace, and they never progress. Many believe that Yahshua's redemption removes any obligation we have to obey. They're wrong. We must obey. If you understand grace, you will understand that it is to bring us to Almighty Yahweh. It is to bring us to repentance. How do we repent? How do we repent? We turn from sin, right? How do we turn from sin? What defines sin? We obey Yahweh's law. Sin is a transgression of Yahweh's law. We obey the law. We obey the law to come out of sin. We come out of sin when we repent. That is what grace was designed to accomplish, to bring us to Almighty Yahweh so that we would obey Him and obey His law. Paul also said here that Yahweh demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Messiah died for us. We were sinners when this happened. You see, it is not by our own works that Messiah died for us. Yahweh didn't look down and say, you know, they're doing such a wonderful job, I'm going to send my son. No, He said, they need my son because they're full of sin. It wasn't because of what we did, but it was because we were sinners. And Yahweh loved us. And He sent His only son so that we might be saved through His redemption. So again, we find that through Yahweh's love, He sent His son as a ransom for our sins, to bring us to Him, to bring us to Almighty Yahweh. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified, notice justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to Elohim through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in Elohim through our Master Yahshua the Messiah, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Again, we find here that we're found just or innocent by the blood of who? By the blood of Yahshua. Remember, there's one way. There's one source. There's one avenue for salvation. It is Yahshua the Messiah. It says here that we were enemies. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to Elohim. How? Through the death of Yahshua, through Yahshua shed blood. In the Greek, this word reconciled means to reconcile those who are at variance, to return to favor with, to be reconciled to one, or to receive one into favor. You see, our status changed with Yahshua from an enemy of Almighty Yahweh because of our sins to one who had favor with our Father in heaven. Again, before our Savior, we were sinners, and as a result, enemies to our Father in heaven. But through our Savior, through Yahshua, we were made just. We were made innocent. We were justified by His blood. This is a reason, again, that salvation isn't earned. This is the reason we don't earn salvation based on what we do, but is based on Yahshua's grace. The only source that can reconcile, that can bring reconciliation to us and Almighty Yahweh is Yahshua, His Son. If we try to earn reconciliation, I can guarantee you that you're going to fail miserably, because not one person in this room is perfect and without sin. Again, this is the reason we're saved by faith, through grace, through Yahshua's blood, and not by what we do. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Besides the Messiah, Paul says here that we're all sinners. We're all sinners Because all sinned, he says. So again, we've all fallen short, and we all desperately need our Savior. If we were perfect without sin, perhaps we could earn salvation. Perhaps we could receive salvation based on what we accomplished. But that's not the case, because we're all guilty of sin, and we all need some sort of redemption in our lives, and that redemption is called Yahshua and His blood. That is where we find our redemption. Now notice what Paul says in verse 13. He says there that sin is not imputed when there is no law. What is Paul saying here? What Paul is saying is that without the law, you have no sin. You understand that? Without the law, you have no sin. The law defines sin. And that's why we need Yahweh's law. Again, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Sin is a transgression of the law, for sin is, or whoever commits sin transgresses the law, breaks the law. For sin is the breaking or transgression of the law. So again, when we repent, we must come out of sin. How do we do that again? We keep Yahweh's word. We obey His commandments. But again, because we all fall short, we still must rely on Yahshua. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. It says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of Elohim and the gift by the grace of the one man, Yahshua the Messiah, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned, Adam's, by the way, one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, what? Yahshua the Messiah. Yahshua the Messiah. We find here Paul showing a distinction between the sin of Adam and the redemption of our Savior, Yahshua. Adam brought sin upon all mankind, and therefore what else did he bring? Condemnation, it says. Condemnation through sin. But the Messiah brought redemption. How? Through his blood. Now Paul is explaining that Yahshua's redemption is greater than Adam's condemnation. James said, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Listen, he says mercy triumphs judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment, according to James. So in the same way here, Yahshua's redemption triumphs over Adam's condemnation. That is why we're saved through the blood of Yahshua, because it is through his justification, through his redemption, that is greater than Adam's condemnation that he brought into this world through his sin. So you see, through Yahshua's sacrifice, we are freed from condemnation. And as a result, we're found righteous. And as a result, we're reconciled because of the justification, because we're made blameless. We are free from sin through Yahshua. I'd like to close with Romans chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many, it says, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many, many will be made righteous. Again, a parallel between Adam and Yahshua. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Notice that grace is greater than sin. Grace is greater than condemnation. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through Yahshua's righteousness to eternal life through Yahshua Messiah, our Master. Again, Paul is still making a distinction between Adam and the Messiah. Notice again what Paul said in verse 18. He said there that justification is a free gift through Yahshua, through our Savior. So Paul is reiterating here the message, the fact that salvation is not something earned, that salvation is not given because Yahweh is indebted because of good works that we've accomplished. We are all pretty pathetic to Almighty Yahweh. And we need something much greater than us to receive salvation. And that's where Yahshua comes in. Why do I emphasize this? Because it's important that we understand how we achieve salvation. It's important that we understand that we're all sinners. It's important to understand we've all fallen short. It's important for us to understand salvation isn't based on debt. It isn't based on something we earn. It's based on grace. It's important that we understand that we need Yahshua and his blood for redemption from our sins. And that there is nothing we can do on our own to achieve the same. And I know people in the faith who believe that salvation is given based in part on what we do. It is given because we've done such a good job on this earth that we deserve Yahweh's salvation. Well, I can assure you that's not the case. That is not the case. There is nothing we can do as human beings to deserve Yahweh's grace and to receive the promise of his kingdom and of eternal life. There is nothing we can do. Through Yahshua's blood, we find forgiveness, we find justification, we find sanctification, meaning that we are set apart to Almighty Yahweh. We're made special unto him because now we are justified and we are made clean and we are acceptable to him. You know, the book of Romans holds many valuable keys to salvation. And I knew this would take a while to go through this book, but I think it's important that we understand the lessons because it talks about how we're grafted in, it talks about faith, it talks about grace, it talks about baptism, immersion, and how we are buried with Messiah, how we will be raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And it, again, talks about how we're grafted into the promise that he gave to Abraham. Many, many wonderful, valuable truths that we need to understand within this book. If we don't understand the source of forgiveness and justification and how we're sanctified, we will not find salvation. We need to understand this, so may we earnestly seek to understand this book, to understand Yahweh's plan of salvation, to understand Paul's message of faith and how we're saved through grace, understand that it's not what we do, but we still have an obligation to obey, and understand that we are grafted in to the same promise that was given to the patriarchs of old. They were grafted in through faith, so are we. They were called through faith, so are we. The promise has not changed. Yahweh's word remains the same. So let us seek these things and understand these things and always earnestly seek to be fully persuaded and have confidence and faith and dedication and devotion in the one we worship. May Yahweh bless you all.